WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police still looking for the gunman in the shooting of activist Charlie Kirk. The FBI has released photos of the man they think was responsible and videos showing a man running on the roof of a campus building and jumping off after the single gunshot was fired. ABC's Morgan Norwood has more on the aftermath.
Amid outrage over graphic videos online, TikTok now vowing to remove images of Kirk's shooting. While in Arizona, Charlie Kirk's widow returning home with her husband's body, escorted by Vice President J.D. Vance, who described Kirk as a true friend.
The number of people applying for unemployment benefits has jumped to the highest level in nearly 4 years. Consumer prices up nearly 3% from last year at this time. Mortgage rates, however, dropping in anticipation of an interest rate cut next week. France has deployed fighter jets to Poland, the U.K. announcing new sanctions against Russia following the deployment of those drones over Polish airspace earlier this week. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm Shally Pittman, filling in for James Kelly. The city of Shell Lake is working to determine where a recently donated sculpture could be placed, amid debate among residents, reports the Sawyer County Record. At their August meeting, the Plan Commission heard input from community members on their recommendation to place the sculpture of a woman paddleboarding with her dog in Memorial Park, with some arguing it didn't belong in a park created for veterans and others arguing the park is used by the general public. The commission unanimously voted to recommend accepting the sculpture and creating a committee to decide where to place it. Spooner Health is inviting area residents to schedule an appointment for one of their upcoming flu shot clinics over the next few weeks. The first clinic will be held at the Washburn County Fairgrounds on September 25th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Health officials say three people in St. Croix County and at least one person in La Crosse County have West Nile virus. On average, there are 18 cases of West Nile virus each year in Wisconsin. Last year, though, Wisconsin had nearly double that number. And the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is also distributing free drug testing strips. Joanne Krulatz reports.
More than 131,000 xylazine strips will go to community organizations. The test strips can let a person know if drugs contain xylazine, a veterinary tranquilizer that is unsafe for humans and is sometimes mixed into street drugs. Xylazine can increase the risk of fatal overdose and cause serious skin infections. DHS will also renew a statewide naloxone standing order, allowing pharmacies to continue to distribute the overdose reversal medication.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm Shally Pittman.
The Badgers in Bama. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide for the first time ever in Alabama. Tomorrow morning, they kick off in Tuscaloosa, 11 a.m. Last year, the Badgers lost at home to Bama, 42-10. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
Well, this is one of those ones that I know guys, you know, had circled for many reasons, right? Obviously, the way things went last year, but also for the idea, like, look, there's nothing more that you want to do as a competitor than be in the, you know, in the biggest games and the biggest competition out there.
NFL, the Packers are now 2-0 after beating the Commanders last night on Thursday Night Football 27-18, despite missing two of their starting offensive linemen, Matt LaFleur.
I thought what was pretty impressive is missing two starters, although Jordan Morgan I consider a starter as well. It's tough sledding at times.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Cardinals tonight at American Family Field with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise partly sunny skies, and another spectacular September day with a high of 79. Tonight, an isolated shower or storm possible after midnight, a low near 60. On Saturday, partly sunny and warm, a high of 82. Right now, it's 57.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Political editor Dan Schaefer will be in to recombobulate, and we'll review the Packers Thursday night football game. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
7:06 now. Nice to have you back up north on this Friday morning. It is September 12th, and our Week in Review panel will be coming up in just a bit. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will be here. Journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze will be joining us as well. Had an early start to the weekend, so listen throughout the day on your local Civic Media station for a forecast that last I checked seemed to be a pretty promising one for a good chunk of the weekend. Maybe some precipitation tonight. Other than that, things are looking real good. Plus, the Packers won't be playing this weekend since they won yesterday. So get on out and enjoy the weekend as best you can. Robin Tigerton, of course, is not taking a day off. He says it's foggy and 51 degrees and mowed 5 yards in the Tigerton area. Two more today. Says, I watched the Packers beat the Commanders 27-18. Great win last night. I'm going to the Tigerton Lions Club Steak Fry on Saturday night. Parker Olson's producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2, and I have to admit, I've been to charcoal chicken feeds. I've been to a lot of things. I don't know that I've actually been to a steak fry, where it's just a whole massive amount of steaks on the grill and you grab one of those. But I would go.
I was going to say that sounds like a fantastic idea.
It really does. You know, it just seems like the ones are either, you know, chicken or brats or, you know, whatever. But yeah. I don't know that I've ever been to a steak fry. I'm not going to be in the Tigerton area this weekend, though. So I'll be on the lookout for one.
I was gonna say, you
have
an opportunity here, Pat.
I know. So again, if you didn't stay up, and I didn't, a lot of people didn't, but the Packers beat the Commanders 27-18 last night. Jordan Love threw for 292 yards, 2 touchdowns. You couple that with a victory over the Lions on Sunday. The Packers already have 2 wins over playoff teams from last season in just a 5-day span. And now they have 9 days before their next game. Tight end Tucker Kraft had 6 receptions for a career-high 124 yards, including an 8-yard touchdown midway through the fourth quarter to crush the Commanders' attempt at a comeback. I like that. The Packers' pass rush kept Washington quarterback Jaden Daniels to unusually low numbers, but the team also suffered a big loss when wide receiver Jaden Reed broke his collarbone in the first quarter, making an amazing 33-yard catch in the end zone. That should have been a touchdown and was nullified by, how do I put this properly, a stupid penalty.
There were a couple of, I'll call them soft.
There was, where was the other one where Coach LaFleur lost his mind at a player?
I thought he ran onto
the field when he wasn't supposed to. And
yeah.
Oh, I don't know I've ever seen him that animated angry at a player.
That's probably true. And a player, that's probably true. Yeah. I think originally he was mad at the officials, and then they told him what happened, and then he turned it on the player. I didn't see who the player was.
He really did. So, again, they normally have the next day off. So he's not, whoever that player was, I didn't take his name down. He's not running laps today, but I'll bet you next week sometime when they look back at the film on that. Can you imagine a film session the way they do after every game? If we had to do that after every show, we had to just go sit in a dark room and Luke Mathers rolls the footage and then stops and starts it and occasionally berates us for what we do how we did it and how we executed.
How do you like those coaching sessions to change into that?
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh,
having just a film room instead.
Since we're on social media,
we have a video component. You can literally roll the film and go, what was that smirk right there, Kreitlow? What was that about? You know?
What are you suggesting here?
Yeah, right. Okay, thankfully we don't have that problem here. Luke, right away on the text line. I love this idea.
I am
suddenly filled with regret for giving him an idea.
I genuinely think that would be entertaining and possibly actually fun to do like once a week, especially after a week like this. Get the spirits back up, folks.
It could be fun. It could also be soul crushing. Romeo Dobbs touchdown to open scoring for the Packers capped a 7-play 96-yard drive. And that included a 57-yard completion to Kraft, a 14-yard scramble by Love on a 3rd and 9. Josh Jacobs made it 14-0 with a 2-yard touchdown run to finish a 10-play 92-yard march. Jacobs finished with 84 yards on 23 carries. And so now the Packers are off for 9 days. Their next game is Sunday, September 21st, a noon game against Cleveland. And you'll be able to hear that on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Meanwhile, the Badger football team is in Alabama for the very first time playing the Crimson Tide on their home turf. The pregame begins at 9 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. And the Milwaukee Brewers are back in action after a day off. They are home against the St. Louis Cardinals. Coverage begins this evening at 6:35 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. But apart from the series this weekend against the Cardinals, there will then be a series of games next week against some team whose name apparently is still in doubt by the elderly host of this program, who grew up with them being called the California Angels.
Yeah.
And then they insisted on becoming the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And then they were the Anaheim Angels. And now apparently, are they just the Los Angeles Angels now? Is that the
they are just the Los Angeles Angels now. I'm not sure that you've got that in the right order, but I do think that those are all true names that they have had.
Those are all true names, and I think I might have that in the right order. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is the Brewers play, again, the Cardinals this weekend, the Angels, whatever the heck they are, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Those are all night games, by the way, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And you have a chance to go to the Thursday night one on us, on Civic Media, and get 4 great seats to do that because it's Free Ticket Friday. Normally, we'd put some big intro in there, but I never did. There we go.
Yeah.
And that's why we want you to get your phone out, get to your Civic Media app, call up one of the stations where you can hear this show and many other fine programs, use the text feature, and text us between now and 9 a.m., the end of the show. Text us the keyword catch. C-A-T-C-H. Like, I'd love to give you these tickets, but there's a catch. You got to be able to receive and use tickets on your phone, and you got to be able to use them. If you can go to that game next Thursday night against the Angels of wherever, then use that text feature. Text us catch.
Okay. It was California Angels?
Yes.
Then it was Anaheim Angels.
Then it was Anaheim. Okay.
Then it was Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Okay.
And then in 2016, they dropped the of Anaheim, and they are now simply the Los Angeles Angels, formerly of Anaheim.
Okay. Why don't they just change their name to not the Dodgers? I mean,
yeah,
if you're going to take Los Angeles,
to,
you know,
fight against there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tough for them.
But I mean, look, it's not as bad as the Athletics or the A's or whatever,
God,
who are currently the Athletics of West Sacramento,
not
someday
even
to be Las Vegas.
They're just, you know, the A's right now. They don't acknowledge where they are at all.
That's unbelievable.
It's so bad.
And again, that should not have been allowed to happen to Oakland, but you know, again, there's plenty of politics involved. But nice to see entries coming in. Again, catch the word between now and 9. There will be more chances for you to enter and win throughout the course of the day, different keywords on different programs. And so, yes, you'll get multiple entries, and then one of those entries will be pulled to win 4 tickets to next Thursday's game, Brewers against the Angels. Hey, have you met Ellie yet? Ellie is the new newsletter editor for Up North News. She works on our weekday edition, and I still put together the Sunday morning politics edition of our newsletter. Ellie is a native of Oconomowoc and is getting back into the swing of things here as our new newsletter editor. While we were kind of, you know, in transition there, we went from Monday through Friday to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but now Ellie's on board, and we'll be getting back to Monday through Friday real soon on that newsletter, full of good Wisconsin stories and features and news. And so for all of that, be sure you head over to our website and sign up, subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, it's if you like to take your dog out and about and maybe want to take your pup for a pint, there are some Wisconsin breweries and beer gardens that welcome dogs. Nice little story about that. And it is not too soon to plan your weekend bucket list. The bucket list has got to include some fall colors. And this newsletter has a link to a story about 9 of the prettiest drives that are out there. So again, get signed up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Parker, one story that came out this week that I thought was worth mentioning was about the richest people in Wisconsin. As you know, Forbes puts together a list, and for years and years and years and years, we have been telling you that John Menard of Menards is the richest man in Wisconsin, the richest person in Wisconsin.
Please be Craig Coleman.
No more. He has been bumped off the list by Diane Hendricks.
Wow.
The chair owner and co-founder of ABC Supply of Beloit. She now is the wealthiest person in Wisconsin, according to Forbes. The 78-year-old has a net worth of $22 billion compared to the paltry $20 billion that Menard, age 85, of Eau Claire, is worth. Hendricks, now with being the wealthiest one in Wisconsin, is also the 44th wealthiest American, and Menard is number 48 on the list. And has been the case in recent years, Wisconsin still has 7 billionaires on the Forbes 400 list. They include Judy Faulkner, 82 years old, worth nearly $8 billion, who is the founder of Epic Systems out of Verona. There's James Cargill, who is one of a dozen heirs to the Minnesota-based Cargill fortune. The 76-year-old is worth $5 billion. Then there are 3 members of the S.C. Johnson Company out of Racine, and they are each worth just about $5 billion. Let's see. There's also some folks with some Wisconsin ties, including Tennessee resident Jimmy Haslin, co-owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, who has a net worth of about $8 billion. Ron Wanick, the founder and chair of Ashley Furniture out of Arcadia, has a net worth of $6 billion. His son, the current CEO of Ashley Furniture, is also a billionaire. And last but not least, there's Dick and Liz Eline, co-founders of Pleasant Prairie-based Uline, and both of them, 80 years old, are worth $6 billion. Still have $6 billion despite throwing more money than God into political ads for boosting all kinds of candidates and causes and things like that. I mean, just adding up the Wisconsin billionaires alone, I should have done that math here, but I mean, we're talking what, 60, $70 billion.
More money than it should be.
With just those 7 or 8 elderly people. And so when people want to look at, you know, somebody down the road who's maybe getting, you know, some Medicaid benefits, or, you know, somebody who maybe is getting a break on their college tuition and saying, that's the problem, that's where my money is going. No, we know where your money went. and we know how to deal with this. We had a tax code that built up the middle class for the first few decades after World War II. And then some of those billionaires figured out if they get political power, they get to hoard more of it. And that's exactly what's happening until the voters change things once again. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More with Pat Kreitlow here on the Buzz of the North on a Friday morning. We're ready for the weekend. Joel here, Mr. Greg Gunderson. His eyes are awake after the big Packer game last night, so we'll just leave all that
alone. Don't start with me. I'm looking at the downsides, Joel. Let's move on.
Well, Packer Thursday game, so you're done with the Packers for 10 games now. We're looking ahead to the weekend. And we're just going to take a peek at the other NFC North Division teams that are playing this weekend. And we have a game that it intrigues me with. Usually when Chicago and Detroit play, I'm like, whatever. And recently Detroit's going to win. To me, this game on Sunday in Chicago is a pretty big game for me as far as determining how good Chicago has the potential to be, and even more importantly, this is a gauge of how Detroit may fall below the radar a little bit this year.
Yes, both of these teams need a get-right game, and only one of them is going to. My expectation is that Honolulu blue is going to be a pretty color on Sunday.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I can't see Dan Campbell's team being 0-2 and being 0-2 in the division, even more importantly than that. But I will say this. The Bears defense had some pretty good moments in that Viking game.
Certainly.
They had some very good moments.
Certainly. They actually, some particular highlights come to mind where I was quite impressed by the defensive showing in Chicago. But also, I mean, the one thing that I needed to see week one out of Chicago was, can Ben Johnson scheme guys open like he did in Detroit? And yes, he can. There's a couple, like the Odunze touchdown. I mean, like, there's a couple plays where, yeah, Ben Johnson's still Ben Johnson. He's just got to get the guys on the program. So that might happen game two. You know, Detroit might fall further. It would surprise me because their problems are surmountable, coaching and offensive line. But there's a reason my motto is we'll see.
I think it's safe to say that whoever loses that game, Detroit and Chicago, the fan discussion on the losing team side will be, uh-oh.
Yes, 100%. Well, because week one you can write off. But whichever of these two teams loses two games in a row is...
0-2 division, 0-2 period.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. God, everybody but the Packers has a really steep start.
Yeah.
That's kind of rude.
Everything points to the Lions going in there and running the ball down the Bears' throat. The Vikings ran the ball down the Bears' throat in the second half.
Down 11 points.
Down 11, and they literally ripped off 8 to 10 yards on several plays in a row. That's, I think, the formula that Detroit's going to go in and say, you know what? We're going to do exactly that.
Yep. You want to watch good coaching? Watch how Kevin O'Connell responded in that Bears-Vikings game last week to being down 11 points. Watch. You can go to YouTube and watch for free, play-by-play. What does he do? He tries to pass here and there, but he does not at all abandon the run. Even when his first couple run attempts get absolutely stuffed, he says, no. Either we're going to win this way or we're going to lose. And he sticks with it. I love KOC, man. That's a great coach.
I think once you coach a game where you were down 33 to nothing at halftime, and you come back in the second half, and you win the game, and you could have won it convincingly. You could have won it by 15, 14 points probably. But when that happens, and you don't do it in total panic mode where you onside kicked and did stupid things, I think when that happens as a coach, you think to yourself, 14 points in 11 minutes? That's nothing. I'm not throwing a bomb. I'm not throwing a panic button here.
Oh, yeah.
We came down 33 points in a half without even onside kicking, for gosh sakes.
I'm picturing Kevin O'Connell watching purple jerseys leaving the stadium too early and thinking, did you guys even watch that Colts game last year? Jeez. Like 33 points.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, I didn't even think of that. But the level of confidence, I mean, what are the chances that you can replicate that level of comeback twice? Almost nil. But I mean, yeah, that's who else can say that?
Yeah.
Nobody ever.
So coming up Tuesday on the Greepo, we'll talk about the Packer game last night and delve into that and what the Packers need to do moving forward. We covered the Bear-Lion game, the importance for both teams, and that the fan base will jump right off the cliff after the game's over if they don't win.
Who's from the home team, man? Chicago, you are brutal.
But I pointed out to you the Vikings schedule the rest of the way, and it's pretty crucial the Vikings start 4-1 or 5-0 in that range because they have a gauntlet in the middle of their schedule, and this is a game right here at home against Atlanta that the Vikings are favored, and they need to win this game.
100%. It's one of those. Yep, you got to set the tone, and the tone's going to get set whether they win or lose. So it's time to take the reins now. Of course, none of the winners from week one are immune from the troubles. We'll talk about it Monday.
So the Vikings hosting Atlanta. Kirk Cousins coming back to Minnesota, but he won't be playing. He's not your man.
Good. Keep him out of the purple jersey. You guys got JJ. He's going to be fine. The second half of that game for JJ was exactly what a lot of the believers said it would be. You know, it was a kid with some grit who played like he did in college. And just, I mean, people who called him a handoff merchant didn't watch his games. He was winning games in college. That's it. That's all there is to it. Now, the one thing that I would like to tap the brakes on, the whole three touchdowns in the fourth quarter of his NFL debut thing. That's not impressive. That he got three touchdowns in the fourth quarter of his NFL debut is more a sign that the team needed to play from behind than that J.J. McCarthy is all that good. Because, wait, let's look at a list of quarterbacks who have three touchdowns in their debut. That's a long list, and most of them didn't have to wait until the fourth to do it. So if you want me to be impressed by that stat, give me something else. But JJ's a good quarterback. That's not why.
If you watch the Viking game Sunday night and you see Kirk Cousins on the sideline for Atlanta not playing, just holding a clipboard, keep in mind that he's with incentives being paid $30 million. $30 million for this season alone for standing there and holding a clipboard.
How much do you make breaking your back?
Goodness gracious. And you know what he'll make next year? Whether he's there or not?
Same.
$30 million. Dollars.
Oh man.
The dynasty of the NFL financially is absolutely insane.
Yep. I hope he uses it well. You know, I love it when people get their due, but that just looks a little wild at the NFL amounts.
I don't think he's done being in the Viking quarterback room at some point.
Whoa.
He's coming back.
That's a big prediction.
Might be as a coach.
Josh McCown, though.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Have a good week.
Next week, yeah.
Have a good weekend. Tuesday, we'll talk Greeple. We'll recap last night's Packer game and the weekend. Have a good weekend, Gray. More with Pat Kreitlow coming up on the Buzz of the North.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Simple question for you on a Friday. If you had a bill go from $400 a year to $7,000 a year, and it was a service you had to have, would you be upset? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday, and that's exactly what's happening to some of our Wisconsin livestock marketers, as well as those they depend on to move livestock. It's a proposed change within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and the livestock industry wants to respond. Details on the way.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
The increases being proposed by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection range from 83% to more than 1,600% increase on fees charged of livestock markets, livestock dealers, and livestock truckers. Kurt Larson, president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Association, says the bottom line, it's not fair, and it needs to be shared expense.
You know, to be quite honest, it's not really something that the is producer driven. It's really more consumer driven. And that's where a lot of the neighboring states have said, hey, you know, this needs to be funded by more than just the producer side, that we need to put some shared funding into this thing to make sure it's successful and we can cover all the work that needs to be done, because it's a big bill to put all on the shoulders of the producers.
Kurt Larson, President, CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Association. There are two additional hearings on this subject coming up next week. They're being held face-to-face and virtual. Larson says it's critically important that all Wisconsin livestock operators and those that serve the industry chime in on these proposed fee increases.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. By the way, that story with Kurt Larson from the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative is one of our top five that you tapped into at MidwestFarmReport.com. Circle back and check out the rest on our playlist. That's a look at food news on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise partly sunny skies and another spectacular September day with a high of 79. Tonight, an isolated shower or storm possible after midnight, a low near 60. On Saturday, partly sunny and warm, a high of 82. Right now, it's 57.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio.
On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Remember, along with the weekday newsletters I was talking about just a bit ago that Ellie is putting together for us now, there is our Sunday morning newsletter with a focus on politics. It includes our question of the week. And with everything else that's been happening this week, we don't want to lose sight of what was happening before then. And that included a president who was flip-flopping on the Epstein files and once again delaying justice for the victims. What caused the flip-flop? We give you some multiple choice options. And if you want to be the first to see that, then sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Back with our week in review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob, and Jennifer Schulze. And Jennifer, let me go to you this on this first about the Charlie Kirk murder. You can feel the tension. You can hear the conversational wrestling about how you talk about somebody who was murdered. Clearly did not deserve to be murdered. Violence is not the answer. But you also can't sane wash who Charlie Kirk was and what he stands for. And you've got people saying, well, that's just violent rhetoric. When, I'm sorry, calling a racist isn't violent rhetoric, and he doesn't deserve to be murdered. But I don't feel like we should be sugarcoating who Charlie Kirk was.
I think a lot of the mainstream media, particularly Ezra Klein of the New York Times.
Oh, yeah, we're going there next.
Completely ignored intentionally who Charlie Kirk was. I have had the misfortune of actually listening to his radio show for reporting purposes. And I'm like many people have just for fun. It's just shocking. But I could tell you from my own experience that if you had even listened to one show, let alone done a job and really paid attention to his massive media output, and let's just say he has a massive media enterprise. He is on every platform. He is doing, did events. He is everywhere all the time with the same type of rhetoric, and it is vile. It is hateful. I want to remind people that he started the, I won't go on an airplane that's being flown by a black pilot. I won't have surgery with a black surgeon. He is was a racist. And anybody who is ignoring that is not, well, they're not doing journalism. They're doing propaganda. And it's really disgraceful.
Yeah. And Ezra Klein, he's the poster child for this, saying that, you know, that Charlie Kirk was practicing politics the right way, didn't deserve to be murdered. Mark Harris had a great response to Ezra Klein, saying, you can write this only if by virtue of your income, identity, or both, you are utterly removed from the consequences of politics. To pretend that the racist, misogynistic, anti-gay vileness that Kirk spent his life spreading is secondary to the fact that he spread it the right way is appalling, Mark.
Yeah, it was. I was floored by that headline, you know, and I think that the problem, just following on Jennifer, I feel like the problem is that they will say, well, Charlie Kirk had controversial views, or his views didn't, you know, not everyone accepted his views, or they won't get specific. I mean, he said just this month Islam is a sword the left is using to slit the throat of America. So he is constantly going after Muslims in this country. He's a crystal fascist. He was shot. I think that's terrible for everyone. It's bad for this country that people get shot for what they believe in, even if they believe in vile things. But he believed in vile things. And the news media need to get specific on the things he said and not just vague it out by calling him controversial.
So, Jim, let's take it to a First Amendment standpoint, which I know it sounds like a slam dunk. You know, the First Amendment protects speech no matter how vile, and violence is never the answer. And I'm definitely not asking you to stand in for Charlie Kirk, except to say we all understand that in this country, like it or not, vile speech, by and large, is protected.
Supreme Court and other courts have always said that we will let you say uninformed, offensive, even violative of our basic norms. We'll say that out loud because that's how important the First Amendment is. There is a line. There is a line. And it's either you can call it fighting words. You can call it incitement to violence. There is a limitation on the First Amendment. And that's also to be understood. The question, of course, whether Charlie Kirk has crossed that here, that's obviously for further analysis. But there is a First Amendment analysis to be undertaken here. I would offer Pat and others, there's also, again, a Second Amendment analysis, which is putting aside all of this, which I endorse, everything that the three of you have said wholeheartedly. You know, the Supreme Court has also told us unequivocally, at the pen of Antonin Scalia, 17 years ago, can you regulate guns? Can you address this problem in America, whether it's there in Utah Valley University or Evergreen High School? The answer is yes. You can impose reasonable, rational limitations, restrictions, all those words on the manufacture, sale, transfer, possession, use of weapons in America. That is legal. That is constitutional. The fact of the matter is that we know that things work. Things like extreme risk protection orders, safe gun storage, loopholes for the gun shows, assault weapons bans. We don't know, you know, all these kinds of things work. We know they work because in states that have passed them, the rates of gun violence go down dramatically. We know the American public is behind this overwhelmingly. And so generations down the road will be calling upon all of us, our great-grandchildren and grandchildren, asking us, you knew what you could do. You could do it legally. People were in favor of this. People are getting killed, whether it's the Mark Kirk, the Kirks of the world, or the other people in this country. Why didn't you do anything? Yeah. Why didn't you do anything? And there is no answer to that in America anymore. There is no answer to that. No. We can do it, and we can make it happen tomorrow if we wanted to.
Part of it is you have a right-wing ecosphere that is, again, continuing this perverse interpretation of the Second Amendment. But Jennifer, it that just goes under the category of disinformation. And as Greg Sargent put it the other day, the MAGA disinformation machine is as bad as I've ever seen it. The job numbers, they're saying they're fake. The falling crime stats are bogus. The tariff fiasco, they're saying, is actually a wild success. And Trump's letter on the Epstein birthday card is forged. I mean, it is more difficult than ever to inform people when the misinformation machine is churning things out in such volume, as you said a few minutes ago.
Well, I think a couple of things to keep in mind, that a lot of that churn is happening and only a small part of the country are seeing it. Not everybody is online. I heard a commentator say they suspected that most of America wouldn't even know who Charlie Kirk was, by way of example of just what's been in the, you know, ecosystem lately. But yes, MAGA has turned the world upside down. MAGA media, which is growing by the minute. I mean, the idea that Paramount, who just bought CBS, might now also buy CNN, it should be really frightening for all of us. Pretty soon, the oligarchs are going to own all of the media except stuff like civic media, but all of the big media, and that is going to make this even worse.
And by the way, Mark, we have seen this happen before. We've talked about Hungary and Viktor Orban and how private money buys up media and then is, you know, sympathetic or in support of the state. So it's not the state seizing the media, but when you see big media mergers like this, I mean, I don't know if it's part of your newsletter about Trump becoming a dictator, but it certainly is in that playbook.
Yeah, I do mention it, that the idea of media, what they call media capture, which is that the would-be dictator or his allies buy up all the big media. And so that the truth, the facts get either, you know, disappeared or strongly muted, you know, and Orban's been doing that. It's in the fascist playbook. I mean, that's what they do. And it's very alarming to see it. We need to pay attention to media that are trustworthy. You know, I mean, I like to always push the Guardian. And I think that it's sadly ironic that a UK-based news outlet is covering American politics better than any of the American publications. And the Guardian had a story that I put on my Blue Sky account listing all the horrible things that Charlie Kirk said. I mean, get to the facts, and they do get to the facts.
There is also, I saw an article this week from under the Badger Project, and the headline is UW-Madison story, partisan news sours consumers on political compromise. Now, that headline sounds rather both sides-ish, but their subhead says right-leaning media users are less likely to support political compromise, a new study suggests. And in general, partisan media consumers tend to see political disagreements as right or wrong. And again, Jennifer, I would just caution against the both sidesism. You can have a point of view in journalism. We're right up front about that at Up North News and Courier Newsroom. But it also has to be fact-based, and that should be the standard, right?
Yeah. I mean, it does come back to facts. So that's the difference between what you do, what a lot of news organizations, frankly, a lot of the smaller ones, like The Guardian is a perfect example. What they do is fact-based as opposed to propaganda, where the intent of Fox is not to tell you the truth. It is to move things in a particular direction to cause disruption, to get certain bills passed, but the goal is propaganda. It doesn't have anything to do with facts. And separating those out and understanding the difference between them, it's really hard for people. I mean, Fox is the most watched cable news, and I hate to use news when I describe them, but they are the most watched in the country, and by a lot of people. You know, 5 million people watched Jesse Waters the other night say that Democrats were the villains in the Charlie Kirk murder and should be attacked, and people should like come after them basically with pitchforks. I mean, a lot of people are getting the propaganda. Fewer people are getting the facts.
Yeah. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, let's just in the last couple minutes of this segment hit on another decision that came out where essentially was it just Chief Justice John Roberts alone who allowed President Trump to continue to block foreign aid? I mean, between the Supreme Court and this Congress, how much unilateral power they're giving to the chief executive is, I mean, concerning, alarming, you know, pick your word.
Absolutely. And once again, we go back to this notion that the Supreme Court should be resolving these matters based upon briefs and based upon argument and should be telling us the reasons for doing what it is doing. If these were insignificant small things around the edges, they're major policy decisions. And it is another reason for Americans to be very upset about the highest court in the land, including the Chief Justice, who has to think about his legacy. I talked before about how we think about this in our generations to come. When you look back on this era, and especially the last 8 months or so, and the decisions by the Supreme Court, this is just the latest one, making these decisions, giving the president the capacity to go ahead while the underlying merits are still being argued. They've not been resolved. That's the outrage of all this. And once again, I'll say it the second time this morning, shame on you. Shame on you, Chief Justice John Roberts.
Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, our Week in Review panel with us here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. In our next hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley a bit about Not a Doctor, Robert Kennedy Jr., and what he had to say about autism and Tylenol. And Mike Clemens will be along as well to talk about the Packer victory last night over Washington. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Packer game, so let's just do that again.
More with Pat Kreitlow here on the Buzz of the North on a Friday morning. We're ready for the weekend. Joel here, Mr. Greg Gunderson. His eyes are awake after the big Packer game last night, so we'll just leave all that
Don't
alone.
Start with me. I'm looking at the downsides, Joel. Let's move on.
Well, so Packer Thursday game, so you're done with the Packers for 10 games now. We're looking ahead to the weekend. And we're just going to take a peek at the other NFC North Division teams that are playing this weekend. And we have a game that it intrigues me with. Usually when Chicago and Detroit play, I'm like, whatever. And recently Detroit's going to win. To me, this game on Sunday in Chicago is a pretty big game for me as far as determining how good Chicago has the potential to be, and even more importantly, this is a gauge of how Detroit may fall below the radar a little bit this year.
Yes, both of these teams need a get-right game, and only one of them is going to. My expectation is that Honolulu blue is going to be a pretty color on Sunday.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I can't see Dan Campbell's team being 0-2 and being 0-2 in the division, even more importantly than that. But I will say this. The Bears defense had some pretty good moments in that Viking game.
Certainly.
They had some very good moments.
Certainly. They actually, some particular highlights come to mind where I was quite impressed by the defensive showing in Chicago. But also, I mean, the one thing that I needed to see week one out of Chicago was, can Ben Johnson scheme guys open like he did in Detroit? And yes, he can. There's a couple, like the Odunze touchdown. I mean, like, there's a couple plays where, yeah, Ben Johnson's still Ben Johnson. He's just got to get the guys on the program. So that might happen game two. You know, Detroit might fall further. It would surprise me because their problems are surmountable, coaching and offensive line. But there's a reason my motto is we'll see.
I think it's safe to say that whoever loses that game, Detroit and Chicago, the fan discussion on the losing team side will be, uh-oh.
Yes, 100%. Well, because week one you can write off. But whichever of these two teams loses two games in a row is...
0-2 division, 0-2 period.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. God, everybody but the Packers has a really steep start.
Yeah.
That's kind of rude.
Everything points to the Lions going in there and running the ball down the Bears' throat. The Vikings ran the ball down the Bears' throat in the second half.
Down 11 points.
Down 11, and they literally ripped off 8 to 10 yards on several plays in a row. That's, I think, the formula that Detroit's going to go in and say, you know what? We're going to do exactly that.
Yep. You want to watch good coaching? Watch how Kevin O'Connell responded in that Bears-Vikings game last week to being down 11 points. Watch. You can go to YouTube and watch for free, play-by-play. What does he do? He tries to pass here and there, but he does not at all abandon the run. Even when his first couple run attempts get absolutely stuffed, he says, no. Either we're going to win this way or we're going to lose. And he sticks with it. I love KOC, man. That's a great coach.
I think once you coach a game where you were down 33 to nothing at halftime, and you come back in the second half, and you win the game, and you could have won it convincingly. You could have won it by 14 points probably. But when that happens, and you don't do it in total panic mode where you onside kicked and did stupid things, I think when that happens as a coach, you think to yourself, 14 points in 11 minutes? That's nothing.
Nothing.
I'm not hitting a – I'm not throwing a bomb. I'm not throwing a panic button here.
Oh, yeah.
We came down 33 points in a half without even onside kicking, for God's sakes.
I'm picturing Kevin O'Connell watching purple jerseys leaving the stadium too early and thinking, did you guys even watch that Colts game last year? Jeez. Like, 33
yeah.
points.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, I didn't even think of that. But the level of confidence, I mean – what are the chances that you can replicate that level of comeback twice? Almost nil. But I mean, yeah, that's who else can say that?
Yeah.
Nobody ever.
So coming up Tuesday on the Greepo, we'll talk about the Packer game last night and delve into that and what the Packers need to do moving forward. We covered the Bear Lion game, the importance for both teams, and that the fan base will jump right off the cliff after the game's over if they don't win.
Who's from the home team, man? Chicago, you are brutal.
But I pointed out to you the Vikings schedule the rest of the way, and it's pretty crucial the Vikings start 4-1 or 5-0 in that range, because they have a gauntlet in the middle of their schedule, and this is a game right here at home against Atlanta that the Vikings are favored, and they need to win this game.
100%. It's one of those. Yep, you got to set the tone, and the tone's going to get set whether they win or lose. So it's time to take the reins now. Of course, none of the winners from week one are immune from the troubles, as we'll talk about it Monday.
So the Vikings hosting Atlanta. Kirk Cousins coming back to Minnesota, but he won't be playing. He's not your man.
Good. Keep him out of the purple jersey. You guys got JJ. He's going to be fine. The second half of that game for JJ was exactly what a lot of the believers said it would be. You know, it was a kid with some grit who played like he did in college. And just, I mean, people who called him a handoff merchant didn't watch his games. He was winning games in college. That's it. That's all there is to it. Now, the one thing that I would like to tap the brakes on, the whole three touchdowns in the fourth quarter of his NFL debut thing. That's not impressive. That he got three touchdowns in the fourth quarter of his NFL debut is more a sign that the team needed to play from behind than that J.J. McCarthy is all that good. Because, wait, let's look at a list of quarterbacks who have three touchdowns in their debut. That's a long list. Yeah. And most of them didn't have to wait until the fourth to do it. So if you want me to be impressed by that stat, give me something else. But JJ's a good quarterback. Just not, that's not why.
If you watch the Viking game Sunday night and you see Kirk Cousins on the sideline for Atlanta not playing, just holding a clipboard, keep in mind that he's with incentives being paid $30 million. $30 million for this season alone. Or standing there and holding a clipboard.
How much do you make breaking your back?
Goodness gracious. And you know what he'll make next year? Whether he's there or not?
Same.
$30 million.
Yep. Oh, man.
The dynasty of the NFL financially is absolutely insane.
Yep. I hope he uses it well. You know, I love it when people get their due, but that just looks a little wild at the NFL amounts.
I don't think he's done being in the Viking quarterback room at some point.
Whoa.
He's coming back.
That's maybe a big prediction.
Might be as a coach.
Josh McCown, though.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Have a good week.
Next week, yeah.
Have a good weekend. Tuesday, we'll talk Greeple. We'll recap last night's Packer game and the weekend. Have a good weekend, Gray. More with Pat Kreitlow coming up on the Buzz of the
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from the ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump saying a short time ago of the man they think shot and killed Charlie Kirk.
I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him. Right in custody.
President on Fox News. Sources also telling ABC's Pierre Thomas there is a person of interest in custody. Federal investigators and state officials had released photos and a video of the person they thought was responsible for shooting Kirk once in the neck at a college rally on the campus of Utah Valley University this week. President Trump, again on Fox, praising investigators in Utah.
Local police, the governor, everybody did a great job. You know, getting somebody that you start off with absolutely nothing. And we started off with a clip that made him look like an ant that was almost useless. We just saw there was somebody up there. And so much work has been done over the last 2.5 days.
There is a news conference expected in Utah about a half hour from now. This is